Hello, and welcome to a conversation about digital wellness that cuts a little deeper than the usual tips and tricks. If you've ever promised yourself you'd spend less time on your phone and still found your thumb opening the same app without thinking, you're not broken, you're human. Today, I want to walk you through three of the seven overlooked mistakes that quietly sabotage long-term recovery from phone addiction, and I'll give you simple, real-world experiments you can try today. The full written guide dives into all seven, but consider this your on-ramp. Let's start with the biggest blind spot I see, mistaking less screen time for true recovery. It sounds logical. If you're using your phone less, you must be getting better, right? Not necessarily. That's like trimming the branches of a weed and expecting the roots to stop growing. Here's the surprising part. When researchers look at the numbers, screen time alone explains only a sliver of what's really going on with digital addiction. Think of it as less than one slice of a big pizza. You might see a 20% drop in app opens this week and feel proud, and you should. But if you're still using your phone to soothe stress, avoid boredom, or push away loneliness, nothing fundamental has changed. The impulse simply finds a new time of day, a different app, or another escape. I learned this firsthand with a client who swore by his screen time report. He celebrated small wins, fewer notifications, shorter sessions, but he was still missing deadlines and feeling fried by dinner. After a week of reflection, he realized his most compulsive scrolls showed up right after tense meetings, when he needed relief from awkward emotions, not content. The screen time graph didn't reveal that. His triggers did. So here's the fix that actually moves the needle. Don't just track what you do, track why you reach. For the next 7 days, try a tiny trigger journal. Every time you catch yourself reaching for your phone, jot down three things: what you were doing, what you were feeling right before, and what you hoped the phone would give you. Comfort, escape, control, distraction. That's it. 60 seconds, tops. You'll start to see patterns your screen time never shows you. If you like structure, add a short questionnaire like the smartphone addiction scale to complement your log. And then ask the question that changes everything. If the phone is my solution, what is the problem I'm actually solving? Boredom, anxiety, loneliness? Once you name the root, recovery stops being a game of whack-a-mole and starts being healing. Let's move to mistake number two, relying on digital therapeutics without building natural recovery skills. I love a good app as much as anyone. Habit trackers, gentle nudges, pretty streaks. But trusting an app to fix phone addiction can be like hiring a fitness app to do your push-ups for you. The data is pretty consistent. These tools can help, but they're nudges, not makeovers. Think of them as training wheels, not the bike. Why does this matter? Because your most important recovery muscles are built away from the screen: emotional awareness, boundary setting, and the ability to feel an urge without obeying it. If you outsource those skills to a notification, you're just swapping one dependency for another. Helpful, yes. Sufficient, not quite. Here's a simple, no-phone-needed practice that works in the heat of the moment. It's called the 3-2-1. When you feel that itch to check your phone, pause and name three things you can see, two things you can hear, and one thing you can feel against your skin. That's it. You ground your attention in your body and your environment, and the urge often softens in seconds. It's like putting your foot on the brake long enough to decide, not react. Do this a few times a day for a week and you'll feel the difference. If you want to measure progress the right way, don't just count streaks or app opens. Can you stand in a grocery line without reflexively scrolling? Do you sleep better because you didn't check your phone at 2 a.m.? Do conversations feel more satisfying because you're actually in them? Those are the kinds of signals that tell you your recovery is growing roots. Now on to mistake number three, underestimating the power of notifications, especially in freemium apps built to hook your attention. Let's be honest, many of our favorite apps are engineered by very smart teams whose job is to keep us engaged. A single ping can pull you back, the way a tiny tug on a fishing line gets your attention. On average, just one alert can boost the chance you'll reopen an app by roughly a fifth in the next hour. That doesn't sound huge until you realize it happens all day, every day, compounding like interest. Imagine this scene. You're making dinner, you're in a groove, and then ping. You don't even need to open the app. Your brain has already switched tasks. The sauce burns, your focus fractures, and you end the night wondering why you feel scattered. It wasn't willpower. It was architecture. The antidote is what I call zero-based notifications. Start from zero. Turn off every non-essential notification. Sounds, banners, badges, those little red dots that whisper urgent. then add back only the ones that truly serve you. For most people, that's messages from a handful of humans and calendar events with real-world consequences. Everything else can pull a number and wait. Then build guardrails around your most vulnerable windows. I suggest a simple rule: no notifications after 8 p.m., none before 9 a.m. Protect your landing and your launch, your evenings when your brain needs to wind down, and your mornings when your attention sets the tone for the day. If 8 and 9 don't fit your life, pick the hours that do. The point is to create islands of quiet where your mind can rest and reset. Want to make it an experiment? Try a notification-free morning for 7 days and keep a tiny mood log. Rate your morning stress from 1 to 5 and jot a sentence about your focus. Most people are startled by how quickly their anxiety drops and their mornings feel like theirs again. If you're brave, go for a notification-free weekend. Suddenly you'll notice how often you check out of a moment that was perfectly good before the phone asked for your attention. As you play with these ideas, remember the theme tying them together. We're not chasing perfect behavior, we're building freedom. Freedom is choosing to reach for your phone because it serves you, not because your nervous system panics without it. To get there, we have to think in layers. On the surface, sure, reduce screen time. Beneath that, understand your triggers. And underneath that, build the human skills that help you stay with discomfort and stay with yourself. So here's your starter pack, distilled. First, pull the roots, not just the branches. Track why you reach, not just how often. Second, let apps assist, but not architect your recovery. Practice the 3-2-1 grounding technique and look for wins you can feel in real life. Third, treat notifications like questionable rumors. Silence them all. Then invite back only what truly matters and protect your mornings and nights like precious land. If this sounds like a lot, choose one move today. Maybe you write your first trigger entry after your next urge, maybe you try 3-2-1 at lunch, or maybe you hit the big red switch on your notifications before bed. One action. Small, real, repeatable. That's how attention changes. Not in a blaze of willpower, but in quiet, consistent choices that stack up into a different life. And if you want the deeper dive, the research, the therapist checkpoints, and the rest of the 7 pitfalls, the written guide has you covered. For now, take a breath. Your attention is one of the most valuable things you own. And with the right mindset and a few honest experiments, it's absolutely within your control. Thanks for spending this time with me. I'm cheering you on as you reclaim your days, one mindful reach at a time.